This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36 in the morning, Tuesday the 27th of April. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to have our breakfast grill. Philip, what's the special today?
Sorry. In the world, there are about 263 lakes and river basins.
Okay, I will continue because Philip is in a bit of a pickle at the moment. Yeah, in the world, there are 263 lakes and river basins which are shared by two or more countries. And these are called transboundary waters, which fuel, of course, agriculture and support thousands of local communities, but can also be a source of point of conflict. So today, I do believe Lin Mark is going to be speaking to Dr. Nahum Miromachi, who is the Associate Professor in Environmental Politics at King's College London and co-author of Water Conflicts, Analysis for Transformation. She's going to help us break down the factors that can lead to these water disputes. So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to our neighbour down south.
Yep. So Singapore's Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong announced a major cabinet reshuffle on Friday. Seven ministries get new ministers in the shift, and Lawrence Wong has been named as the country's next finance minister. Wong has been the public face of Singapore's COVID-19 response, and the announcement signals that he may be among the favourites to become the country's next PM. This is after current Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat announced he would resign as the leader of the country's fourth generation of PAP. But heavyweight new portfolios given to two other likely contenders, Chan Chun Sing and Ong Ye Kung, meant that they remained in contention for the job.
So for some insight into this development in Singapore, we're speaking to Nidia Ngiao, Senior Director at Bauer Group Asia. Nidia, thanks for joining us. Now, like we said, Lee Hsien Loong just announced a major cabinet reshuffle with one notable post unchanged. Heng Swee Keat remains Deputy Prime Minister, though he has relinquished the finance portfolio. Did this move surprise you? Does this indicate any change to his decision to step aside as leader of the fourth generation PAP leadership team?
Good morning, Xiaoning and Philip. Thanks for having me on today. So, having Heng Swee Keat remain as Deputy Prime Minister is not surprising until the PAP's fourth generation leadership find his successor. I think that, you know, at this stage, his decision to step aside remains, and he is relieved after getting this weight off his shoulders. I think, the important thing here is that he has relinquished the finance portfolio, and this will enable him to focus a bit more on the whole of government economic agenda, including chairing the Future Economy Council, as well as incorporating the recommendations of Singapore's Emerging Stronger Task Force into the work of this council. In addition, I think, you know, Heng will remain an important player in the cabinet going forward. He still holds key political and government appointments, including coordinating Minister for Economic Policies, which means that he will remain an integral part of economic policy making going forward. And he also remains chairman of the National Research Foundation, which is Singapore's key agency driving our R&D strategies. And he's expected to lead the implementation of the Research, Innovation and Enterprise 2025 Master Plan that was only announced last December. I think the biggest change is that going forward, when the Prime Minister is away or unable to perform his duties, the role of the acting Prime Minister will go to Senior Minister Teo Chee Hian and not Heng Swee Keat anymore.
Now, Lawrence Wong has been given the critical finance portfolio after less than a year as an education minister. Does this place him ahead in the race to lead the PAP after Lee Hsien Loong?
I think the move for Lawrence to helm the finance ministry makes sense because he has been second minister there for 5 years. It definitely reinforces his ascendancy in recent years, albeit rather unassumingly, as many did not expect him to become a candidate to become Prime Minister designate so clearly. And it is really a reflection of the good work that he has done as co-chair of the COVID-19 task force. But, you know, let's just put it out there that, you know, while taking over the finance ministry could be seen as a natural progression for Lawrence, it remains to be seen if he will take the path that Prime Minister Lee himself took, or if he will become the next senior minister Taman, and play a supporting role as deputy Prime Minister. The finance portfolio is no doubt an important one, but only Prime Minister Lee himself, out of 8 or 9 finance ministers that Singapore had, has gone on to become the Prime Minister. And if Wong performs well in his new role, as he has thus far in his role as co-chair of the COVID-19 task force, he could increasingly be perceived as the unassuming first among equals among the 4G leadership team that can unite the party going forward.
And just to give us a flavour, I mean, how popular is Lawrence Wong among the public? I mean, after all, Heng Swee Keat won by a very small margin in his seat last election, and it was a bit of a source of embarrassment. What about Lawrence Wong?
He has definitely done well in the past year with his co-chairing of the COVID-19 task force. And, you know, as you can see, he was promptly rewarded after the July 2020 elections with a move to the Ministry of Education, which is a ministry that both Heng Swee Keat and Ong Ye Kung have both led. Admittedly, while Heng won by a small margin in the July 2020 elections, he was up against fierce competition in the form of our opposition Workers' Party's second best team, and was moved there specifically to help win what the party had already known would be a very tough race, which indicated the party's confidence in him. In comparison, you know, Wong, he led the Marsiling UT GRC team by securing 63.2% of the votes, which is a drop of 5.5% from the 2015 elections. He had fought off efforts from the Singapore Democratic Party, which is, in comparison to the Workers' Party, not as popular as an opposition team. I want to do say that, you know, at this stage, the race is still fairly wide open, and we cannot discount either Chan Chun Sing or Ong Ye Kung to be the next prime minister.
Why is it such a challenge to find a designated successor or replacement for Lee Hsien Loong?
I think the 4G team hasn't quite established the rapport with Singaporeans that prior generations of leaders have managed to build over decades. We're seeing shorter and shorter runways of time from when someone is elected as a member of parliament to becoming a minister and then to become the leader. So if you look at, you know, right from the very beginning, Lee Kuan Yew and his team saw Singapore through some tumultuous times, including combating communism, separation from Malaysia, independence, you know, and his successors had helped to build on those foundations and position Singapore as a key business, financial and trade hub over the past two decades. At the same time, though, the 4G has this fourth generation leadership has yet to stamp its political mark, not only because a 4G leader with political gravitas has yet to emerge, but it has also yet to conclusively show that it is able to steer Singapore through the tough times. If you look at the current cabinet reshuffle, you'll see that the more outward-facing positions dealing with security are still controlled by the third generation of leaders, folks that have supported Lee Hsien Loong. So in defense, foreign affairs, home affairs, you know, they haven't seen any changes since 2011 or 2015, respectively. And this could signal an inherent lack of trust that the senior political leaders themselves do not believe at this stage that the 4G leaders can successfully lead Singapore during this period where steadier hands are required.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Nidia Niao, Senior Director at Bauer Group Asia, giving us the lowdown on what happening in Singapore.
Very interesting.
There are some parallels with Malaysia because it looks like the 3G leaders are prepared to let go completely with the 4G leaders either, because the key portfolios are still retained by many of the senior ministers.
Correct. You know, it's so telling how the appointment of the cabinet reflects the trust you have for those critical inside roles.
And it's also still too early in the day to say who might be the future prime minister, because yes, Lawrence Wong's popularity is strong at the moment because he has chaired the COVID-19 committee, which has honestly done really well in flattening the pandemic curve in this island state. But you can't write off Chan Chun Sing and Ong Ye Kung at this current moment. It's still very, very early days.
It's a horse race.
It's a horse race. But nonetheless, we will be continuing to follow this story very closely because this is interesting. We need to know what our neighbours are up to. But up next, we'll be speaking to Ben Sofian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, on the approval ratings. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.